الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. In tonight's juz, we have three main components. One is a kind of repeat to some of the previous prophets, why they were sent, always the message of God is. And perhaps each prophet had also a special problem in his people to try and fix it. As you know, all the prophets before Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam were sent to their people. Moses to the Jews, Jesus to the Jews, all the previous ones to their local people, until Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam came with the message which confirmed the previous ones, and his message was addressed to all mankind. Of interest, as we read through the stories of the previous prophets, was the story of Suleiman and how he conversed with the animals and birds and insects, and the story of the ant cautioning her ant population to take shelter as Suleiman came, telling them that the kings are usually ruinous when they go into the land and they trespass against the people. And also the story of the correspondence between Suleiman and the Queen of Sheba, and how he sent her, and how she decided to go and visit, and how he prepared a replica of her throne to be manifested to her when she later came. Sometimes one wonders how could some of the subjects of Suleiman offer to bring an imitation of her throne room, so that when she would come, she would be perplexed. Is this my throne or not? How come it is here with Solomon? But really, this story tells me that knowledge is so immense, and that we are almost shocked when they hear the news that a throne was transferred from a land to a land. And yet I reviewed during my lifetime, during my own lifetime, there was a time when I never dreamt of something like the television, when you can convey the voice and the image from a far away land. If I was told this before the discovery of television, maybe I wouldn't have believed. Then the miracle of aviation, the miracle of the photocopier, the miracle of and telex. The miracle of the telephone that can show you the image of the speaker at the other end of the line. Although he might be at the other corner of the earth. And I have no doubt that the fact that Suleiman could really arrange for the throne hall of the Queen of Sheba to be brought to his palace is not a lie. It is possible. But we have not yet discovered the means by which Suleiman could arrange for this. And one would remember that Allah had a third verse in the Quran that is still operating till now and will be operating until the end of time. وَمَا أُوتِيتُمْ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. Of the knowledge you have only been given but a meager part. An important aspect of this juz also is the counterpart, the parallel to the Ten Commandments. Quite often, my friends from amongst the people of the book, Christians and the Jews, would ask me, do you believe in the Ten Commandments? Of course we believe in the Ten Commandments, but we find them practically the same in the juz that you have listened to tonight. And they are, the Ten Commandments, as they are in the Quran, number one, to be modest and walk on earth humbly, because you will never be able to perforate the earth. You will never be able to be as high as the mountains. Humility and the avoidance of arrogance is one of the commandments of the Quran. And in another verse in the Quran, we are cautioned against being arrogant. And the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said in the hadith, لا يدخل الجنة من كان في قلبه مثقال ذرة من كبر. You will not enter into paradise if you have as much as an atom's weight of arrogance. And then the second feature and the commandment, وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. When the wrongful people, the Quran describes the moment that when the wrong people and the rude people speak to them, they just say peace. They don't answer back rudely, but they answer in this very polite way. A hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, when a man asked him about religion, tell me, what is religion? What is that Islamic religion? How to be religious, etc. And the Prophet said, religion is not to get angry. And therefore, to be cool under all circumstances, not to be provoked into anger, is one of the pillars of the Islamic teaching and is one of the Ten Commandments of Islam. The third one is to spend your money neither, neither in the way of a stingy person, nor in the way of an extravagant person. But you take the median course between this and that. Of course, this is a very live advice and a commandment today, because it happens that the whole world now, especially our American society, we live in the consumeristic age, the age of consumerism. We spend a lot of money on very unnecessary things, forgetting people who would survive perhaps for a month at the price of some gift your child would buy to their friend on their birthday. And therefore, one of our duties as Muslims is to caution our children not to be as consumeristic as happens in the society we live in. And those who spend their night in adoration to God. Night is a special time, and you should have time carved out from your business in order to be and face your God and do some meditation and praying during the night. The fourth one is those who say, O Allah, avert from us the punishment of hellfire. We should live with that thought in our minds. Of course, Allah is forgiving, and His forgiveness is absolute forgiveness. But He is also just, and His justice is absolute justice. And the mu'min is wise. So, you should live under both shadows and thoughts. The one is that God is just, and therefore you should watch your step and fall into error. But a human being is not perfect, and we must err, and we must sin. It's our nature. But the important thing, if you sin, is to repent and ask Allah for forgiveness. And He promises forgiveness for those who ask for it in all honesty. Then one important commandment is never to invoke with God another gods that you worship. It might look strange to you. When we worship God, we worship Allah. How come the Quran says we shouldn't worship anyone beside God? As a matter of fact, there are people, in fact, the majority of people, who worship other gods with Allah. Some people give precedence to their lust for money, and are after money is the primary goal in their life. They are worshiping God, but they are also worshiping money. So they are associating a God with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some are very bent on their own personal pleasures and greed and lust. And if these shape their lives, then these things are their practical God, not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore we should be keen that in whatever we do, and that all our decisions, private and the public, we should be inspired by God and not with any other desire or any other authority. With this, there is another invocation, which is never to kill a soul that God made sacred, especially in due process. And as we see, be it the criminal killing in the civil society, or be it the military killing in the world at large, every innocent person that is killed will be accounted for. Whether you are the terrorist kidnapping innocent people and slaying them, or whether you are the pilot in the comfort in the cockpit dropping bombs on people, killing 99% innocent people, you will be responsible for that on the Day of Judgment. Another one is that you should not commit adultery. As a matter of fact, the last three ones, the spending the money in a proper way, don't invoke partners with God, and never committing adultery, are all in one verse. And we are forbidden from succumbing to these. And if we do, there will be a double punishment on the Day of Judgment, except, and here the gates of forgiveness are open, except if you repent and do righteous deeds, God will not only forgive you, but will transform your sins into hasanat. And this is within His authority, and this should tempt us to desist from the sins and wrongdoing we committed and repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The seventh commandment, don't give false testimony, whether it is in court, whether it is in social life, whether it is in elections. Your testimony should be an honest one and not to be zur. And then, don't associate with gatherings embarking on vain talk. If people are feeling merry-go-like, lucky, and they're talking and wasting time mentioning, talking about people, or saying vain things, try and avoid such gatherings and be in the company of those who are closer to Allah. Then, when you see the signs of your Lord, don't just fall upon them as if you are blind or deaf. And perhaps a stark example of this is when you read the Quran and all you get from it is lingual recitation of its words, but you do not really look, you do not really listen to what Allah wants you to be and want. I know many people who recite the Quran just it is good. There is a reward for this. But this is meant not only for looking with your eyes at the Mus'haf, or with uttering with your tongue the words written there, without really thinking on them, pondering on them, understand thoroughly what Allah is saying to you, so that you'll be able to implement it in your life. And so many people have a relation with the Quran which utilizes their eyes to read and their tongues to utter the words, but they are summa and umyan. They are blind and they are deaf. Although they hear with their ears, although they utter with their tongues, but the fact that they didn't go up to their intellect and their brain and thinking about what Allah wants us to be and to do, it will be a waste if you just like receiving a letter and not doing what it tells you to do. Then those who pray to Allah to grant them spouses and offspring would be a joy to their eyes, not only in the way of how they look, but in the way of how they will behave currently in their future. Because through your children, you are making the coming generation. And no doubt that a feature of the mu'min is to ask Allah that his immediate environment, the house, the family, would be a joy to the eye, and that the offspring shaping the future, my contribution to the future is my offspring. And the mu'min would ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless our wives, and wives ask that Allah would bless their husbands, and the parents would ask Allah to bless their children so that they contribute to a better future after we live our life and go. These are the commandments of the Quran, and they should be before our thinking all the time, because taqwa is to remember and guard and heed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as if you see him all the time, remembering that even if you don't see him, he sees you. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم.